I have a confession to make. Several weeks ago, when I first read the lessons for today, I thought to myself, oh, yeesh. These are not exactly the readings I would have liked on my first Sunday at Emmanuel, and these are not the readings that I would have picked. But I also have to tell you that it's for that very reason that I am glad to be a priest in a church that follows a lectionary, that doesn't allow me to choose every week what I want to preach on, but rather chooses lessons that, no matter how hard or uncomfortable, really need to be heard and wrestled with if we are to grow in grace and in faith. When I was a little girl, I remember hearing this morning's gospel passage in church and being very confused by it. After all, didn't the Ten Commandments tell us to honor our father and mother? And wasn't Jesus always telling us to love one another, to love even our enemies and those who would wish us harm? So where did all this hating come in? Now, Luke is a master storyteller. He's the best storyteller of all of the evangelists. And he writes poignantly about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. After the infancy narratives, he describes Jesus' ministry in Galilee. And from Galilee, Luke follows Jesus' ministry to Jerusalem, which we know ends with his crucifixion and resurrection. And smack dab in the middle, between Jesus' ministry in Galilee and his ministry in Jerusalem, is our text for today. Smack dab in the middle of Jesus' ministry, Jesus starts speaking about our ministry and what it will take for us to be disciples. I think Luke places this in the middle of his gospel because discipleship is at the heart of Luke's story. Whoever comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. In New Testament times, the extended family was the nucleus that life revolved around. To dishonor one's family could result in expulsion from the community. It could even imperil your very survival. It was the worst thing that you could do. So for the gathered crowd to hear Jesus say that we should hate our family members, even life itself, would have been very jarring. But to hate one's family did not mean and would not have been heard by Jesus' listeners as a call to emotionally loathe or despise those that we're related to. The word hate comes from a Semitic expression meaning to detach, to set aside from, or to turn away from. And it was not an emotion, but rather an action that Jesus was calling them to. Jesus was saying, above everything, above family, above friends, above everything the dominant culture says should take first place in your life, I am to be there. I am to be first. Now, this was and this remains a very countercultural claim. Make no mistake, my friends, this is dangerous stuff. This is hard stuff. Now, I want to tell you the story of a young girl I know. Her name is Olivia, and she is one of the bravest 14-year-olds I've ever met. Both she and her mother asked to speak with me, and Olivia was very interested in Jesus. She wanted to become a Christian. She wanted to be baptized, and her mother was tied in knots about it. Her mother would drive her to church, but Olivia was divided about going to church where all her friends were going, or going to a place that felt more like home, that fed her soul. And I give her mother a great deal of credit. Her mother didn't believe in God. She thought it was a bunch of superstition. But she loved her daughter, so she drove her to two different churches with two different conflicting schedules, with two very different theologies, and she let her attend. The mother made an appointment with me to speak privately a few months after this. And she wasn't just tied in knots about Olivia and her interest in Jesus. She was torn apart by it. She sat in my office sobbing, these hard, racking, can barely get a word out sobs, not understanding why her daughter needed to go down this particular road. And I'll never forget her words. Why, she sobbed, why this? We provide her with a loving home. We provide her with everything she needs. We provide her with opportunities that a lot of her friends don't get. We're affluent. Why? Why isn't it enough? Why aren't we enough? The pain this woman was in was intense and palpable, and my heart broke for her. I think on some level she knew that for her daughter to claim her relationship with Jesus, there would be a part of Olivia that she could no longer have. And Olivia desperately wanted to have a relationship with Jesus and a faith community. And her mother just as desperately wanted Jesus to go away. There was strife in this family, and it was painful to see. Jesus' message is not a smooth sell. It is not some slick advertising campaign that is trying to convince us we need something more in our lives. Jesus is not some Madison Avenue executive. And in discipleship, there are no blue light specials. There are no deep discounts or seasonal sales. There is only God's truth. And that truth leads to a Black Friday. There's only God's truth, and it leads to the cross. Jesus' message is not some con job, making promises it can't possibly keep, ignoring the hardship and glossing over the true cost of discipleship. Jesus loves us enough to lay the truth in front of us and to let us choose. To follow Jesus, to become a disciple, is to make our relationship with God our primary relationship. It is to see, experience, and redefine all of our other relationships through our relationship with Him. To follow Jesus means that we're willing to leave behind our old lives and our old ways of relating to others and to take on new lives and new ways of relating to others. Because at the heart of discipleship is transformation. It's easy, perhaps, to place Jesus first in our not-so-good relationships. But to place Him first in our best relationships, that is much harder and perhaps much more necessary. If we don't place Jesus first, we run the risk of worshiping someone or something else. And our society is filled with examples of people and cultures that worship everything from money and the life that it can purchase for us, to technology, to sports, to country, to status. And the examples go on and on and on. But when we place these things first in importance, we fall into an idolatrous relationship that cannot give us what Jesus can. And Jesus tells us that He is to be first in all of our relationships, first in our friendships, first in our families, and first in our faith. And like Olivia, we may lose family over our choice. We may lose friends. We may lose status in the community. And Jesus tells us that for some of us, we may lose our very lives. But to follow the King is to understand and accept this and decide to follow Jesus anyway. It is to follow him with our eyes and our hearts wide open. And that's what carrying the cross means. Discipleship is hard. It will lead to the cross. But this is what we have to remember, and this is what I think Olivia's mother never knew to begin with. Discipleship may lead us to the cross, but it doesn't end at the cross. There is joy in discipleship, and that is the good news. Right after Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship, at the very beginning of the next chapter, you'll hear that gospel read and me preaching on it next week, we read what are called the three parables of joy. These are the parables of the found sheep, the found coin, and the found son. Immediately after we are told that we've got to give up everything to follow Jesus, we read about being found. We read about the extraordinary efforts made on our behalf and of the extravagant joy that is experienced in heaven as a result. In each parable, what is lost is sought after until it is found, until it's returned home to the one who cares for it the best. In these parables, we are told that we are sought after and claimed by the one who risked everything, who gave up everything, even his own life for us. Jesus knew the cost of loving us, and he chose to love us anyway. Jesus is telling us that there is joy in putting him first and in following him, and it is joy beyond anything we could ever imagine. And the joy will always find and embrace us, even as we are called to embrace a discipleship rooted in self-renunciation and in letting go. There is joy in discipleship, because discipleship is nothing less than choosing to enter God's love and God's grace. Amen.